Hello and welcome to Kicking Tires. My name is Jimmy.
And I'm Justin.
And today is July 13th, and we got some, well, it's going to be CRV news really, but we'll get to that near the end. I want to start off first with Cadillac. Cadillac has decided that they want to make a very high-end luxury sedan called the Celesque. I think
Celestic.
Celestiq.
Celestic.
Anyways, so this high-end sedan, rumors are suggesting it's going to cost 300,000 US dollars. $300,000 for a Cadillac. Is that a bit much?
I mean, in today's day and age, 300,000 is like for an ultra luxury car is not that much.
But for Cadillac?
For a Cadillac, it's hard to say 'cause like, oh, a Maybach Mercedes is going to be, up there. A G-Wagon is going to be up there. And it's very weird when you start playing with numbers like that because a base G-Wagon is like what under 150 I think or around there, and
Around
then
there,
you
probably.
option it up a little bit and then suddenly it's 300, and then with dealer markup it's half a mil, and you're like the numbers don't really have to make sense. Ultimately it's just if you make something that people want or people want to want is really the key, because I couldn't tell you why, like back in the day, why an S65 cost double an S500 or an S550, right? You're not getting double the amount of car, and so when you're playing with this market and people just want the quality, the luxury, if they can deliver it, it's not ridiculous. Because think about it, a Plaid has a disgusting interior. And it's 200K,
That's true.
right?
That's true.
And this already looks 10 times better than the Plaid in terms of how prestige it is. And so 200K is like not even that, otherworldly anymore, it feels like. Yeah, that's kind of what my thought process is with this. It does look like they're pushing the envelope as far as what you traditionally thought of as a Cadillac luxury car, because what we have, is like the Escalade and stuff, and they're not that like they're better versions of existing GM cars.
The look is very similar to the Lyriq, and I
Yes,
thought the
that.
Lyriq was priced very well at 63,000, because for everything that you get, the brand and the looks, I was like, bang, that's huge.
Yeah, they put a lot of effort into that car, it feels like.
Yeah, and there's a lot of exterior components that translates over, but the interior is completely different between the Celestiq as well as the Lyriq. Oh, I guess that's where the name comes from. Kind of rhymes a little bit to kind of differentiate their EVs, I guess. But yeah, I think they are going the right way, but I think I just got sticker shocked by the around 300K. But then, as you said, the Plaid is already 200.
Yeah, and
Then
you're not
I'm like,
offering
oh,
any luxury.
yeah. Then I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. I mean, I obviously haven't really considered them. Like,
People
oh,
buy them too,
yeah.
like,
I
right?
saw a few like the other day. I was like, why do you drive
Yeah, like you think about what's being offered, like a Taycan Turbo S, right? And MSRP on that is probably what, well above 200 as well. Yeah, well
Well,
above 200.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The thing for me is like, if I'm really want a Model S in today's world, which honestly I wouldn't, because I feel like yes, it's been updated on the inside, but the outside still looks so dated.
Yeah, it's 10 years old.
I just wouldn't want a Model S. But if I want a Model S, like why get the Plaid? Like the long range, whatever they call it, just like the standard Model S, I think. It's like only 130, I think it was. And like, sure, it's not as fast, but it's still ridiculously fast. It's still faster than the old like P100 to whatnot. Do you really need something faster than that? I don't know. That's just me.
No.
But yeah,
it's just a flex, right?
It really is. It really is. But this, you know, it does look really amazing. The details of the images that they have on their site show that, like, the interior, like, it reminds me of like 60s, 70s Cadillacs with the interior, because of like the seat back. It's like this kind of wooden design to it. It's just really, really cool. Like, there's something about it that just, it looked absolutely phenomenal to me.
It's kind of Art Deco-y. Like, it's like something, you know, when you see these furniture pieces, those iconic furniture pieces, and you're like, that is an 80-year-old design, and you're like, holy crap. Like, you look at something that's just timeless.
Yeah.
And this has that appeal. Like, this could be from 5 years from now, or it could be from 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can't quite put your finger on it, and that's a really cool quality about it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's like a lot of like little details that look really nice. There's like the Cadillac symbol here on the side, and then the tail lights, sucker for lights, but they all look really, really good. Anyways, let's move on from Cadillac before I drool some more things that I can't afford. Let's talk about more things that I can't afford. BMW. BMW decides that, hey, you know what? You don't always need that heated seat. You don't always need, like, you know, a certain feature of your vehicle. Why not put it behind a paywall? Put it behind a subscription. They are basically doing what EA did with all their games. Is it smart? Financially, maybe? Maybe?
It's hard to say. So what's happening is, not just in the UK, there's other markets that they're doing this, which is they're rolling out subscription for certain features of the car. So like the heated steering wheel feature, they want to sell it for £10 per month. Heated seats, £15 a month. And they're doing, I think they're doing a 1 year, 3 year, and a unlimited plan. So you could do a one-time payment and just have that feature. BMW already got, you know, shit on so hard when it came to their connected services when they tried to sell CarPlay as a subscription feature.
Right.
And they pulled the plug on that because people were just too upset about it. But doesn't seem like they've really learned their lesson here, because this is even worse, because I think with software stuff, when it comes to that, like there's certain features that kind of make sense that you pay ongoing. I think the article talks about remote start systems, like these, something that you can start from your cell phone. It requires a data plan with the car, so you pay a certain fee for it. That's to keep the systems and infrastructure running. But this is not that, right? Like, this is not, doesn't require ongoing support. It's heated seats. Your car, they already made it. Physically, the cost to produce it is already in the car. Arguably, the cost to warranty said features, maybe not, but it's just heated seats. It's not that, you know, it's not rocket science either. They're not known for failing or anything like that. And even then, that should just be covered under warranty. Now, it's interesting to see how this will play out, because if it means that their car will have a much lower MSRP than their competitors by offering features behind that paywall, then maybe people find it appealing. But if you're looking at apples to apples, the same price car from Audi or Mercedes that you don't have to pay, because you're going to see, you know, $40,000, and does it come with heated seats? Optional, subscription required, or standard? It's going to look differently to buyers. And if buyers are shopping a spec sheet like that, they're going to be turned away from this. So it's interesting to see how this actually pays out. I mean, they've probably done their math, and it's, you know, they're saying, you know, this, oh, it lets people have a short-term trial of the feature. They don't have to pay the full price to get that feature. Well, if your car is actually substantially cheaper by not enabling that feature, then maybe it's some people would consider it.
So,
another thought is the I lost that thought. Go on.
I was thinking, like, in most cars, there is a paid subscription that comes with your car that gives you like a 90-day free trial. Most cars these days give you Sirius XM as like a 90-day trial, mm-hmm. and then you have to pay for that. Like, it's like giving you a taste, and then, you know, giving that
the
to
hardware
you.
Hardware is all there. You have your antenna, you have your tuner.
Yeah,
that's all there. But Sirius is a little bit different, because to keep that service running and to pay the
you have to have
people running these channels, there's a lot of cost, you know, associated with that. So it makes sense that you have to pay for that service.
What I could see this helping is helping BMW manufacture cars. So very similar to like how Tesla makes their cars, they put all the hardware in there and then software enable, mm-hmm. right? It just means that every single car, the manufacturing process is going to be easier because they don't have to
think. Streamline a lot.
Right. So
hardware wise,
would they, because of that, would it reduce their like actual costs? And if it does, would it be reflected? Because
I think so,
to your point,
if you think about it, so I think like heated seats, for example, I think the lifetime fee was like $500. It worked out to something like $500. But if you think about it, adding a few switches and a few wires and stuff, the actual manufacturing cost is probably so minimal. You know, I always thought this growing up, because some cars didn't have power windows, power door locks, this kind of stuff. And it's like the cost to manufacture that little piece of plastic is probably so insignificant. And it might be cheaper just rather than having to, you know, employees, whatever's building the machines that are building these cars, assembling them, picking the parts for them, you're making their job easier, thus cheaper. So it kind of makes sense. And it's $500 to add it back in or to enable it. It may make sense from a cost perspective. You know, it's we can't be that quick to judge, but. And the fact that they're offering the lifetime option, I think that is really it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I am skeptical about this. I know manufacturers are already doing this. So so my GT4, for example, I did pay, I think, $400 or $600 to enable Apple CarPlay, when really I could just, the car doesn't have Android Auto. So I inquired about getting this coded aftermarket, and one of the things aftermarket can do, my car doesn't have navigation, it doesn't have it does have CarPlay, it doesn't have Android Auto. Porsche doesn't like to give people Android Auto. You can't even pay for it through the dealership, but you can actually have it coded in because the hardware is able to support it. Same with the GPS. The navigation is a little bit iffy, because to enable the feature you have to get the map, but I guess people have gotten around it and they've hacked it so that they can load the map on physically, or like virtually load on the map through their coding. and so the map thing is kind of cool. So I can get this all coded in for, I think they quoted me like $400 to
is
code in
from
navigation.
Porsche or?
No, through a third party.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Navigation and Android Auto, which is a lot cheaper than getting it from Porsche. But the issue with that is if Porsche finds out, they could recode it back to original, and hey, this car shouldn't have had those features, and they could turn them off, and I've got to now pay the coder to do it again. So that's kind of a dilemma as well, but it's kind of, you know, it's not the only car like this. BMW already has features that you could just turn on if you get a Bluetooth dongle and you pay for this app on your phone, whether it's Android or iPhone. You can turn on certain features, you know, simple stuff like making the car fold its mirrors automatically, and comfort unlocks where it rolls down the windows and stuff like that. You can enable a lot of this stuff through an app, and the car is able to do it. You can't do it without kind of going, you know, outside of some people's comfort zones, but cars are already at the stage where they have hardware to do more than it leaves the factory with, but you have to enable it, whether it's behind a paywall or not.
Right.
So it's not really something new.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next topic here, which is Dustin's favorite vehicle of all time. I'm gonna move this here. It's the Outback Sedan.
Outback Sedan.
Dustin loves the Outback Sedan.
It is such a quirky car that is it's a crossover sedan. The other one is the is there XC60 or something, or
yeah,
S60
cross S60 cross country.
So yeah, which are the just Volvo lifted yeah. off-roady style sedans. Well, and they look so funny because they have bigger tires.
It's perfect because our next news topic is exactly the car that you need. And it's your background because it is a brand new Toyota Crown. This is going to be released in 2 days. So 7/15, so July 15th. So from the renderings that we got from the trademark office, we know it's a lifted type sedan.
Sedan thing.
Or is it
an
SUV?
Looks a lot like a Maximum, actually. Like the roof line.
the roof line, especially the window, rear window, yeah.
Window frame is very Maxima, and like the proportions are kind of Maxima.
So it's definitely a little weird, but it's a brand new Toyota Crown. And as we know, Justin loves his Toyota. He has every single model that you can think of.
Yeah.
Basically.
The Crown is kind of weird because it's supposed to be this executive sedan luxury car.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if it makes sense to be like a lifted version. Like, I get it if it's like, oh, it's the Crown, you know, X or
Crown Cross.
Whatever. Yeah. some kind of special model. But the Crown is kind of a legendary nameplate now, right? Like it's the household name, Toyota Crown. It's a taxi that some of us grew up with. it's a sports car or sports sedan, like the Crown Athletes.
Yeah.
Some people. And
because yeah,
now it's an SUV sedan thing.
The Crown has always had like a few different models, right? So there was a regular Crown, and then there was a Crown Athlete, which, like you said, it's the more performance oriented one. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird that they are just calling this Crown and not like something
Crown
else.
Crown Cross. Yeah.
I just don't know if a Crown Cross. That just sounds weird to me.
It sounds kind of religious, and
it sounds just a little odd, but. I really like the profile that the headlights have. It's very BZ4X kind of look to it. Mm-hmm. This gold that they have on their photos, but it has like black on the hood. It's really, really weird. There's also an image out there from Toyota showing like a red version of the Crown. So it's red on the fender and then black on the hood. But the grill, the part that it shows, it just reminds me of the Avalon XSE, because it's like a massive
full
front grill,
bottom grill,
yeah,
kind of tapers downwards. You know, I read somewhere that they're bringing the Crown to North America as an SUV, like a hybrid SUV.
Well, yeah, the initial rumors were it was going to be something that's based off the Highlander,
mm-hmm.
but this is obviously something completely different. I mean, it
yeah,
might
the
be
rendering that we're seeing is, well, you know, yeah, but the pictures, even the official Toyota leak, I guess, like mm-hmm. what we're seeing on our screen right now, that's not an SUV, I
no.
don't think, right? Like, that's got a sedan profile to it,
definitely. I mean, it they even say that within their video, it's like, is it a sedan, is it an SUV?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you decide, kind of thing.
Yeah, that is trippy, because like that sedan SUV formula has not worked out for anyone.
Well, the two people that have tried it in the past, but those two were never as strong as Toyota.
They're not Toyota. Yeah,
yeah.
They don't have established SUV chassis.
Exactly. Subaru, I mean, Subaru's always made their money off Outbacks. Mm-hmm. If you make a sedan,
wagons.
It doesn't make sense. Volvos, same thing. Volvo, they're always
company.
Those are both but wagon
Toyota
companies.
Does have a good sedan background.
They do. They don't have good wagons. I mean, when's the last time you saw a Toyota wagon?
Oh, yeah.
The Camry wagon discontinued back in like 96 or 97, something like that. Mm. Same thing with the Corolla.
Yes. This is... They've even pretty much abandoned hatchbacks, too.
Yeah. Well, they've given up on, you know, doing much with them. But this, I don't know. I'm curious. We'll see in 2 days exactly what it is and how it looks like. Maybe Justin can put a pre-order in 2 days. We'll see.
I would not spend my money on an SUV sedan. At least not a brand new one. A used Outback sedan might be tempting to wheel.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to Craigslist after to see if there's an Outback sedan available.
Fair enough.
I've already looked.
Moving on. Filled like an automatic alerts. Tell me if any Outback sedans, any Murano Cross Cabriolet.
Did I send you the Murano Cross Cabriolet?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
18 grand.
Oh, it's too much money. It's. Oh, it was in Alberta for 18,000. If it was 15, I think it's more reasonable. At 15, but 18, I think is a little high.
Maybe they'll take it.
No. I want them to post 15 because I'll ask for like 11 or 12. Hmm. That's yeah. I'm still gonna go down from that. I'm not paying full price. Moving right along, we got a new Sierra 1500 here. This is the AT4X AEV edition. AEV, if you don't know, stands for American Expedition Vehicle. They've been in the industry for 25 years, continuously pushing the boundaries of design and innovation. The goal has always been simple: provide the highest quality off-road parts and accessories available anywhere in the world, comma, period, period. It's literally what it says. I'm just reading it. Essentially, this is a hopped up AT4 with AEV parts on it. So you got a steel front and rear bumper. It is lifted a little bit more with 33-inch tires. So it's matching the ZR2 in terms of tires. It has better departure, approach departure, as well as breakover angles compared to the ZR2. This is more for like rock crawling, whereas the ZR2 is more for desert running a little bit in a way. The only thing is, this is 80,000 American dollars.
That's Raptor money.
That is Raptor money. Raptor is 70. I did take a quick peek.
Ooh,
Raptor is a little cheaper, but you get a 6.2 liter V8 in this.
Raptor's got 35s, so
and optional 37s.
Ability to take up to 37s.
Yeah,
there's no way you can put 37s on this.
Well, I mean, you know, it just depends on how far your hacksaw is and how many blades you got.
Well, at that point, you don't get the 84X; you just get the regular one, right? Like you don't. That kind of. That's kind of insane. They did this with the ZR2 Colorado too. They did an AEV model or Bison or whatever that was so overpriced. You know, the regular ZR2 is already expensive, but the Bison really pushed the boundaries on like reasonable price.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's whatever. Like, it's cool stuff that, you know, really heavy duty skid plates, like they're
3.5 times stronger than regular stamped steel stuff that they got. So this is like actual heavy duty skid plates on here.
Yeah, but what kind of differential do we even have?
Doesn't say.
A front and rear e-locker.
Oh, it does say.
Yes.
But did I miss it? Oh, I did a word search because I was too lazy to read the entire thing.
It does have the Multimatic DSSV that we've seen on the
ZR2
packages. And that's kind of GM specialty suspension, very high-end suspension.
The e-lockers were available in the ZR2 as well, now that I think about it.
Yes, Colorado for sure has front and rear lockers.
Yeah.
My brother has that truck, actually.
Yeah, because it was, I remember I took a Trail Boss off-road. You were there.
The Trail Boss only has the G80.
Yeah, which the was
automatic.
Oh, LSD. Gosh, that was so bad. I felt like every time it locked, I thought like something was breaking. Because you spin it, like the tires spin, and it has to spin at a decent speed. Then it just clamps and locks your axle together. Instant jerk, and then you're like, you jerk forward, and then you're like, oh shit, I gotta like lift off the throttle a little bit, and then it unlocks.
80, I'm seeing what, 88,000 almost Canadian?
Yeah.
For the, that is a lot of money that I don't know who will buy it, but I mean, okay, to be fair, a full load normal 1500 Ram F-150 GMC, they're all above 70 for like a pretty well equipped one, and this one is fairly well equipped. It seems it's not just an off-road trim, it's also a loaded, fairly loaded trim. Maybe not.
I did see that there is more additional stuff you can add on. Oh, additional like off-road rocker panels and whatnot, so you can add on the side stuff.
No, they have the Bison had those side panels that you slap on the door for like kind of skid plates for the sides,
right?
So you don't scratch it up as much. But this already has, I think it comes equipped with all the leather and the bows and like the high end feature, probably the cameras and stuff.
It should at that price come with all of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it looks all right.
It's aggressive. I think it looks good. I don't think
it looks good for a Sierra, but it's really hard to pick this over a Raptor for me, at least.
Yeah, a Raptor is 69,905. That's what it starts at.
Yeah, if you can get one, it's that's a hard car to get.
Yeah, I think.
The Raptor Canadian here is 94.
Yeah, Canadian models of Raptors is more because we have more center equipment.
And there's still options on top of that.
Yeah, there's definitely still options on top. But like in the US, like the roof and tailgate package is separate. Tow package is separate. Convenience package. Like there's a lot of stuff you can put on it. But yeah, I think it looks good. I like that front bumper. Oh, that front bumper, you can put a winch behind it. From what I've seen, it does not come with a winch, so it's not Power Wagon 2500. So it's AEV stamp steel front and rear bumper with heavy duty recovery points and winch capability on the front bumper. Does not actually come with one.
I think they should have went for 35. It's hard with the square fenders, but if you're gonna compete in that range, want
bigger tires.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, a Ram Rebel is around that price when you load them up. I think a Ram Rebel is around.
Ram trucks. Let me take a look at the US site just so that we're consistent here on pricing.
Starts at 65 Canadian. Oh, a Ram Rebel. But that's probably pretty basic.
Yeah, and the Ram Rebel is quite a bit underpowered, I would say, compared to this.
It's a 5.7. Well, as a base Ram Rebel comes with this tiny 5-inch screen. So it's really quite base.
Yeah. You gotta step up quite a bit.
Yeah. So you're looking at like 80 for a Ram Rebel. And it's not as capable as this. It does not have front and rear lockers.
Just rear locker has an electronic rear.
Oh, and it's cloth seats. Still,
which is better?
I don't know. I would rather have if you're off-roading, you don't want cloth. It gets dirty worse.
That makes sense. I cannot get onto, oh, there it is, finally got onto their site.
It's still a good 10 grand more than a Ram Rebel, but you're getting the Multimatic DSSV, you're getting front locker,
Does the Rebel have the Hemi standard? I thought the Rebel has.
It has a 5.7 standard.
Oh, okay.
5.7 is not that powerful, though.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah.
No, it's Ram Rebel in the US standard is Pentastar.
Oh, okay.
$55,000.
Well, we get the V8 standard. Turbo yeah. diesel optional. And if the e-torque optional.
So we can add on that. We can add on. Okay, so Ram Rebel with just the Hemi as an upgrade is 58. That's still $30,000 difference. Or $20,000 difference. $22,000 difference, sorry. That's huge.
That's huge. But that's a base Ram Rebel.
Yeah. Well,
with the tiny screen. You don't want that. You have to, and they make you get like all the packages to upgrade the screen. Like you're getting a Ram, you have to have the big screen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially at 70 plus, you gotta get the big screen. So yeah. it's basically 80, but this is almost 90. So it is still a big jump. And it's a GMC. It doesn't have, I don't think it has the clout behind the Rams or the F-150s. But
I don't think the Rebel has the capability of this, though.
It definitely doesn't. But no one's really wheeling the 90K trucks, right? You know, Raptors, I do see it. I do see people wheeling Raptors, but I think the luxury, these are still luxury trucks at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like the people that are actually buying it aren't really doing it other than like very rich YouTubers.
Yeah. And I don't know. To me, the AT4X just doesn't have the the presence, right?
It doesn't look as macho.
Yeah. It's more, it styling wise, it's more like the F-150 Tremor, which is a very mild look. I would say,
yeah.
Whereas the Ram Rebel, even though it's more of a styling than a real off-road package, it has a lot of presence.
I think the Rebel, the best thing about it is that front grille.
Exactly.
I really like that front grille.
The front bumper, it is just way cooler for what it is.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to our final topic, but the most important one for this week. It is the Honda CR-V. It was launched yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. This is the all-new fifth generation, I'm thinking.
It's only five gens.
One, wait, two, let me think. Three. I have the third. No, six.
This is the six.
Sixth generation. Because I have the third. There was two more. This is sixth generation of Honda CR-Vs. So,
which is kind of an iconic car in North America.
Yeah.
So like US and Canada, this is a really important car.
When the images popped up, I was like, wow, that's unassuming. That's just so bland. It's like the new Civic. It's so bland. It's a car, whatever. Kind of just like a bigger HRV. Didn't scream at me about much, to be very honest. I didn't feel like it was much. But then I started to dig around a little bit more. I'm like, you know what? Some of this isn't too bad. It's not too bad. So let's talk about specs here first. Canadian market and US market is very different. So we get, well, in terms of engines, is the same. Base, like lower entry models, is the 1.5 liter turbo four, which is the one that they currently use, but it's retuned. So you get more horsepower at 190 horsepower and 179 pound feet of torque. Top touring models in Canada. So in Canada, it's only the touring model. You get the 2 liter hybrid, which is a 204 horsepower and 247 pound feet of torque. In the US, it's called Sport Touring, and there's also a Sport model that uses that hybrid motor. But in Canada, the Sport uses the 1.5. So once again, Canadian models and US models are quite different, and the equipment that they have inside is quite different as well. But it's bigger than before. It's 1.6 inches longer in terms of wheelbase and 2.7 inches in length, 0.4 in width. I was taking a look at this versus the first gen Honda Pilot, because the Pilot wasn't small.
Mm-hmm.
And what did I say? It was, it's only 3 inches shorter. Yeah, 3 inches shorter than the first generation Honda Pilot with the same wheelbase. Hmm. So technically, I mean, in other markets, the CR-V is actually a three row. This can be a three row.
Yeah.
They're not going to bring it here because it doesn't make sense for, you know, North Americans because of our size. We won't fit in a compact three row like this, but it can be. That's how big this thing is.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the pictures of the trunk size, it's absolutely massive. Massive.
And you know what? It's still a reasonable length, 185 inches long. It's still a pretty reasonable, like, fits in normal parking spots.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether or not you really need, this is kind of that awkward size where it's like, it's a lot bigger than what people normally need. Like, people like me that really just need two seats and then occasionally needs a trunk, right? For me, like, an HRV size car makes more sense. And then this is not quite big enough for someone who has kids and needs to move strollers. Like if you have two kids, it's kind of, you know, depends if they outgrew their strollers and child seats and whatnot, but it's kind of that awkward size now that it's fairly big. It's a big car. It's still technically compact. That's kind of my gripe with this.
Yeah.
CR-V is that they still call it a compact car, but it's got what 10 years ago would be considered midsize.
Yeah, midsize.
Easily midsize, right? especially in terms of interior volume. And that's partially is to do with just better engineering that you can maximize interior volume, because at the end of the day, 185 inch length car is not that much longer than the Civic, if even that. So it's not that long, but they've maximized the space.
Mm-hmm. I was taking a look at features because I like a vehicle that has good amount of features when you buy something like this. Mm-hmm. And this is not going to be cheap. This is going to be like top trim with every option. You're probably looking close to 50k, just because of, you know, everything that you get.
Yeah, but you're getting hybrid and
everything. Yeah, you're getting hybrid tech, you're getting a bigger size vehicle and inflation, like all of that adds to it. But there's things that it doesn't have that I found was a little bit odd. So we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. It doesn't have cooled seats, it only has heated seats. It's not like a deal breaker for some people. And I couldn't find a picture of the CR-V with a panel roof.
Right.
The current CR-V gets a panel roof, but only on the top trim. But in the US, I don't think the US gets a panel roof. It's only a Canadian special. So, I mean, all the releases right now, it's all US based. So I don't know exactly if we're going to get that.
Yeah.
My son loves a panel roof, so like I can't even put it into consideration if it doesn't have it.
It's, well, the pictures we've seen from Honda.ca is all the EXL, so we don't know what our touring model is going to get. I mean, the EXL is already fairly well equipped. You're just missing out on the
19-inch wheels, the wireless CarPlay, the 9-inch infotainment system. Because the EXL only has a 7-inch system, which in this photo is not it. This is actually a US-based EXL, because that's the 9-inch unit. The 7-inch unit has dials on both sides. It doesn't have wireless.
What are you even losing out on with an LX or a Sport? But you're not really getting much with the EXL.
So
leather seats, I guess, is...
Yeah, the seats would definitely be one of them. I'm thinking wheels for sure. I'm thinking the sport one will probably give you maybe a sportier rear
Black.
fascia or
Oh,
blacked out
black
bits.
cloth upholstery and black dash trim.
Yeah, so you get some little bits and pieces in there, but there's not a lot about differentiating the models in their blurb. Unfortunately, there's just nothing really to tell us that. Yeah, they
Yeah,
said
because even the
sport.
base gets power driver seat, just not the passenger
That's
seat.
passenger side, yeah. So highlighted gloss, gloss black accent, sport and touring models get rectangular exhaust finishes and unique lower bumper design in piano black.
Pretty funky bumper design. I like the design overall. I think it's I don't think it's that bad for Honda. Like just what we've seen lately hasn't been that compelling. But I think this design is not bad. Like it is a little bit more butch though.
Well, they kind of done that with every newer generation. From the fourth to fifth to sixth, it's been more and more butch. It's been more muscular on the front end, right?
I think it looks a lot better than the HRV that
Oh,
that
absolutely.
we're getting here in North America at least.
Absolutely.
And I think they're probably nerfing some features, like you said, the cool seats. You're just not getting that because they want to keep that for Acura, I guess. Because Honda's not pushing Acura that hard.
Well, the pilot has cooled seats.
Because its competitors do, but RAV4, the higher end ones do, whereas
RAV4 high ends do. CX-5 does. I don't recall if Forester or other models do, but like a lot of them do now. Like they're just, this segment
Hyundai
with,
for sure.
Hyundai. Yeah, absolutely. And Kias. Like it's this segment is the most popular segment. It doesn't make sense for you to, leave some of those like key things out where other people would want it.
And okay, here's my thought too, is let's say I have the current or the outgoing generation, maybe a touring model, is if I don't step up to the hybrid, I don't see much of a point of changing, because I don't feel like the interior quality, judging at least from the Civic, going from 10th to 11th gen, I don't feel like the interior quality is any better. It's a newer design, but I still have CarPlay in the old car.
This will work better. The CarPlay in this will
Oh yeah,
work a
for
lot
sure. The old
better.
one is so clunky.
Yeah. But it's only clunky when you have to interact with it. It just depends, right? Like if you're just playing music and that's really all it's doing, your minimal text messaging and other stuff, you're not
Nah,
going to really
it still
notice.
freezes. I mean, my
Really?
2021 Civic, it loves to freeze. It loves to it has a mind of its own on the
Perfect.
2020. I don't drive that car anymore, and I still, in the few short times I've had it, it's been very buggy. Yeah, that old Honda Link system, the Android base, it's like Android, but it's like Android from 10 years ago. Gives
It's
Android a bad rep, to be honest. But yeah, I don't know what you're really getting. I mean, obviously, a new car is going to be safer. They said it adds towing capability with the hybrid model.
Oh, so what they mean by that is the last generation hybrid, which was available in the US, had zero towing capability.
Oh, towing capacity 0 pounds.
Zero. But now it can tow, I think it was
Probably like
like
2,000.
1,000. No, not 2,000. It was like 1,000 or 1,500. It was very little.
Interesting.
453 kilos.
1,000 pounds.
Yeah, you're not really towing much.
Yeah, you can tow a small U-Haul trailer to move.
Oh,
Maybe a motorcycle.
and I also really like this information here. The new hybrid electrical system also allows for a substantial increase in continuous maximum speed, which climbs from 140 kilometers per hour to 185.
You can sustain 185K.
My thing is, who the heck is taking their CRV over 120 anyways? Like, where? There's no place for you to do that. Well, not around here anyways.
I mean, it sounds like it's got good power. We'll see what the fuel economy is like, because I don't think official numbers are out yet.
They're definitely not out. It's not going to be good as good as RAV4 or Escape. We know that. We 100% will know that. Because the RAV4 of how it's designed, it's just more efficient. Like the
and Escape outgoing, is even better.
Yeah. And the outgoing CRV was so bad in terms of fuel economy, they didn't even bother bringing it to Canada.
Right? Well, I think they got, what, 35 combined?
I don't remember, but it wasn't that great. A styling quirk that I'm not liking. This rear panel, where the Honda Volvo? Logo is.
Oh, no. Not the Volvo taillights?
I like the Volvo taillights. That's on the current one as well. But where the Honda emblem is on the back, that should have been part of the glass rather than part of this plaque here. It just
Why
looks
is there a painted
weird.
Section there?
Yeah, that should be. Well, on the outgoing model, it's a chrome piece that goes across to divide the glass and whatnot. This is just the painted piece, and it just doesn't look as fancy. Because generations of CRVs in the past always had a chrome piece that goes along. Even my CRV has a chrome piece that goes along. It's just missing that.
You know, I there was a funny note that I saw some reviewers talk about, oh, it's got the Volvo taillights. And I'm like, CRVs always had like the vertical, long vertical taillights.
Ever since 97, vertical taillights.
Yeah.
It's in...
So it's really a CRV thing too.
Yeah. It's the last generation of CRV when they went horizontal as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was always going vertical. Then they went horizontal as well.
Yeah.
But the horizontal part doesn't light up for braking.
Okay.
Only for like your nighttime lights.
Oh yeah, it's got like the L's, like the Lexus or the BMW style.
Yeah. So the 2023 will have the L's. That's only for nighttime. And the braking will be the vertical part. And that's because your brake lights has to be a certain height or a certain size. And if they put it onto the tailgate, it doesn't make sense.
It's got a very traditional SUV profile. Like, viewing from the side, it looks a little bit like an Atlas. It
actually gives me Passport vibes.
Passport,
the window.
Yeah. Just the overall proportion. It again makes the Passport very obsolete. It's another Honda that makes you think, why do other Hondas exist? Like the HRV and the Passport, there's really no reason to bring them into 2023. Obviously the HRV being brand new, but
I don't know if you saw, but recently there was a video that's circulating of Passport going to like the stock off-road rally thing, and it's completely stock Passport.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing because, you know, J Series V6, but it's not all that. I don't know. I wouldn't think it's any more capable than a CRV would be.
It probably isn't.
I mean, the all-wheel drive system in that is technically more sophisticated than the real-time system, because the IVTM4 is exactly the same as the SH all-wheel drive. So the clutch packs in the back, it should be more sophisticated, but is it better?
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out later, I guess. Maybe
honestly, for the way the Passport is built, for what they intend people to do, the CRV is going to do just as good of a job. Because you're not doing any real off-roading. You're just going camping, you're going kayaking, you're going mountain biking.
None of these models offer like actual skid plates anyway, so you're not going to be taking it anywhere. That's too crazy.
Yeah, you're gonna hurt yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really it. Anything else you want to talk about the CRV? Or anything else?
Not so much the CRV. Oh, my car got hit this week. My truck got sides. I don't even know what you call it. It's not really sideswipe. It was just parked, and a drunk driver decided to hit the left rear. I guess he was just swerving, couldn't stay straight. And yeah, he, my truck has aftermarket wheels and spacers. So the track width is quite wide in the back. It's 6 inches. No, it is about the wheel sticks out about 4 inches more than the stock wheels. So quite significantly wider than a stock F-150.
And, yeah, like fender flares over it.
And I have fender flares. Like, it's not like just sticking out.
Yeah.
And you can't miss it. You know, if you're sober, you can't miss it. But a drunk driver's hit my car, and it is such a headache now with the shortage and everything. You know, because if the value was based off of, say, what I bought it for, it would probably get written off. Because what happened is the drunk driver hit the left rear wheel so hard that, one, he flipped his own car. Two, the left rear wheel is pushed forward half a foot. So the axle is kind of messed up. The suspension, the shock is messed up. The frame might probably need some work as well.
Probably like where the shock mount is, that probably needs
to be. So there's issues with it, and like, it's got aftermarket shocks, aftermarket wheels, tires on there. The aftermarket shock is what worries me, because Bilstein has been really bad with keeping up with production since the pandemic. I don't know if I can even get those shocks again. The car is sitting currently at the ICBC lot, I guess. It hasn't gone to a body shop yet for estimates. I don't even have the other guy's license plate. So how this all went down, I was just gaming at 10:30 at night. I get a call on my phone. It's a 604 number. I'm like, is this a spam call? Because they usually don't call at 10:30. Like, spam calls usually don't call this late. So I picked it up, and it's a VPD officer. They're like, your car's been hit on this street. And like, damn it, I'm not even there, because a friend borrowed it. And so I called him right away to go check it out. And yeah, it definitely renders a car undrivable in the middle of track season, when I really need a truck the most. We have our track day in 2 weeks. And now with the ICBC system, the way that it is, with the old system, I wasn't so worried. Or I wouldn't be so worried. But the new system, it's, one, it's no fault. Two, you can't sue. And the reason, you know, it's like, I'm not one to sue for, you know, emotional damage. But the thing is, like, I need a truck to use, and I don't have loss of use coverage. And it's not right that, hey, if I've got to wait 3 months for parts, if not more, I need to be made right that, hey, this is my truck that I need to use for, I've only insured it for pleasure use, because I only really use it for track stuff and, you know, just moving stuff.
Yeah.
And so I still need a truck to use, and I can't buy one. I can't afford to just go out and buy a 6K truck while my other one is getting repaired.
Well, it's not like you could anyways right now anyways. It's, even if you had that money,
overpriced. You know, I wouldn't mind a van even, but so I'm worried, like, if they don't write it off and I've got to wait for parts, I'm gonna be out of a truck for a long time. If they do write it off, I'm probably, then I don't need to sit and wait as much. At least I can take whatever money they give me and try to replace the truck. But right now it's sitting in limbo, and it's such a headache. Like, I haven't even really started the claims process. I've only filed the claim. The other party has not submitted anything, probably because they're in jail because they were intoxicated. The other guy was, because my friend was there, they were breathalyzing him, and he was, I think one thing they do, like, he tried to suck on it rather than blow into it, and they're like, the cops know if you're doing stupid stuff like that, they know you're trying to evade the breathalyzer, and right, they know you're guilty. And so he's like doing short breaths and whatever. Eventually he failed it. After so many attempts, he failed the breathalyzer. And so Yeah, I don't even know if he's insured, but to me, I know why ICBC, like, it's kind of a crappy situation. I know why ICBC, like, kind of dumbed down this whole claim system just to reduce costs. And costs have gone down a lot. This truck used to cost me almost 3 grand a year to insure. It's like below two now. So it
What
dropped
year is it?
significantly, 2016. Yeah, it's dropped significantly in terms of insurance costs, because ICBC is limited, you know, how much people can claim, what people can sue for. But it just really sucks because, like, it's not that I need to sue for it, but I'm like, I need a truck to use. I don't know, because, like, normally I could just go out and rent a truck and then I'll just go after this guy for his last penny, which he probably doesn't have any money left because he's in a pile of legal stuff now that he got caught drunk driving and damaging property and everything. This guy got really unlucky because he hit my truck. Had he hit any other car, it would have just been normal damage. He would have probably hit and run and just left and gotten away with it. Like, yeah, he would have to fix his own car, but he would have gotten away with it. Because he hit my truck with the wheels sticking out half a foot, it launched his car. He wasn't going that fast because he flipped, but he didn't, like, slide forward. I'll probably post a picture somewhere, but he
He,
basically just went up and flipped, like.
yeah, because he hit your wheel and tire, and then it rolled up,
Yeah.
and then it rolled over it. That
Yeah,
makes
so
sense.
it only slid forward maybe a meter. So he wasn't going very fast. So if you hit any other car, it would have been fine. But it basically used the left rear wheel as a ramp and just launched itself. And had he, and because of that, he couldn't get away with it. Because, well, I mean, what you do in that case, not that I'm recommending it, is you probably run, right? Like, you don't want to be sitting there and, like, you know, but he was probably out of it because, and it's a heavily policed area. It's East Van, like Kingsway and Slocan-ish, where churches is, near there. So there's probably police probably got there pretty quick. And yeah, but unlucky because not that he deserves any luck. Everyone's like, that guy deserves to die because drinking and driving is one of the most detested crimes, right? Short of killing people and whatever, but actually, it's probably worse than killing people. Like, killing people, you probably had a motive. Drunk driving, you could have killed a family. Like, it's probably, it's arguably worse. Like, you're probably affecting innocence, which you did. So it's, no one has any sympathy for this guy.
I'm actually kind of surprised. I'm looking on Craigslist as you know we would. F-150s for 2016, 2017, you're looking at like 30 to 40K.
Yeah. I bought my truck for under 30.
Yeah, I was like, didn't you get it for like 20 something?
I got it for like 27, I want to say. I have put like 10K into it over the last 3 years.
If ICBC you're listening to it, the truck was 50K when he bought it, and he put
Well,
another 50 into it, okay?
they know what I declared. Well, I bought it from a dealership, so I didn't even, I paid the full tax on it and everything. So there's that. But I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know what I would get, but I do need something that can tow. I do need something that can move stuff. I have been considering getting a van
Have you seen this
and
brand new Sierra 1500
ATX
AT4X AEB
84X.
edition?
Yeah, no.
I heard it's amazing. I think it's you know what? It's time to go van. You always wanted a Sprinter or like a
Well, I need a van that can tow. That is the hard part. Like, a normal van, they can only tow about like 3,000, 4,000 pounds. It's not
Can't
enough.
sprinters and the transits can tow.
Like a 3500 or the Nissan, the
Well,
really
that's
ugly
it.
Nissan, but they don't make it anymore. The big NV.
NVs, yeah. 2500 and
The
3500.
one that's basically an Armada.
It's
I don't even
so
know what
ugly
it
from
is.
the side.
It is, but I think if you lift it, it will look kind of.
We did a story on that. There was a lifted one. Did we do? I can't remember if we did a story on it. No, I think we did a story on it. Yes, we did.
I remember high roof, 28,600 V8 with oh, it's a rebuilt title.
That's fine.
Which is fine. It's a work van.
Yeah.
How do you write off an NV, Tim?
Oh, it's a high roof. Probably hit something.
Yeah, but I don't think the roof is gonna be that expensive to replace. But no, van is better for moving stuff. Not as good for towing. I don't need any off-road capability, but I think an NV with some cool wheels on it would actually look half decent. Titans look decent, right? Like, so no reason an NV can't look decent.
Oh, there's a V6 NV. I didn't know that.
Oh, probably uses that ancient 4-liter.
The 4-liter, yeah.
Well, very expensive.
You can construct a supercharger to that 4-liter. Oh man, I'm just envisioning an NV high roof with the big overdrive symbol on the side of it.
It's lifted. And it's gonna flip, but
you can't tow anything when it's lifted. Oh, it's gonna be horrible.
Yeah. So yeah, dealing with this headache now. I haven't heard back from anyone. I don't know what's going on.
SCBC will take a while.
Yeah. And they're like, we don't have the other party's information either. So
you should have got that from
the there cops. Is a VPD file.
Yeah.
I gave them the file number, but they need to call VPD and grab that information.
Oh, jeez.
It's not something that I have. And I looked at my pictures. I'm like, I don't even have a license plate because I looked at the pictures and the bumper was ripped off of the other car. It was face down, so I couldn't see the actual license plate. It was an Elantra. Oh, I didn't even mention that. It was an Elantra that hit my truck.
That it was a smooth Elantra.
Yeah,
from two like generations 2014. Back.
Yeah, that style. I like that style, actually. Maybe not as much anymore.
Something recently changed your view on it.
Yeah, and I've never had a claim before, too. So I've never had to go through this kind of stuff. Really? Like, I've never had to deal with any claims with any of my cars, and this is like the first time. And yeah, the new system, you know, it's great for people buying insurance because it's a lot cheaper, but you're not getting that much cover. Like, they'll fix your car. That's about it. And given the age of my truck, they're going to put on used parts, which I don't really care. But
oh, really? Yeah. I thought they can't have to put on new parts. I didn't know they can put on used parts.
It's too old. So.
Oh. Or
it's old enough that they would try to look for a cheaper alternative.
Oh, interesting.
Because yeah. I don't have like new car replacement on a 5-year-old truck. It's like 140,000K on it now.
I mean, like when I had, the car accident that I was in was a long time ago now. It's like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So that was different because I didn't have replacement or anything like that. But I was out of my car and I was able to get a replacement. Like they told me to go to a rental company, and then they'll give me a car.
Yeah.
And the rental company tried to give me a Corolla when it was an Accord. And I was like, no, I need the space. That's why I have an Accord. They're like, oh, we only have a Corolla. It's yeah, like it's all bickering.
No, and if they give, like, I don't want, don't give me a Corolla because there's no use for me to have a Corolla. I don't want to feed a Corolla the 9.5 liters per 100K of gas it takes. But,
as Clarkson said, the fastest car is a rental car. And you know what? What else? A rental car can also tow the most.
You would die trying to tow with that Corolla.
If you can figure out a way to put like a gooseneck in the trunk, you'll be fine. Just got to figure out that system. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's really it, though, for this week. Thank you so much for watching, everyone, and we'll catch you next week with some exciting stuff, because we got the Justin's Crown. Favorite car. We got the Crown, and July 20th, we also have the Civic Type R. So we'll talk to you then. Take care, everyone.
Bye now.